technical difficulty. Oh, there we go. Now I'm on. Good to be here tonight. I was, this morning on the way to church, I was thinking about some things. We drove by a place of employment, and it's not a sinful place. There's nothing wrong with that place, and it's fine. I might go there on a weekday or something, but parking lot was packed, and there's people out there and talking, and I was just thinking about us coming here on Sundays, on the Lord's Day, to be with the Lord's people and to hear God's word, and what a blessing that is. And I was thinking about others. What might they be doing on Sunday? Maybe resting, doing what they want, entertainment, whatever it might be, right? Whatever they want to do. And I was thinking, you know, what might I be doing if I was lost and I had never came to know Christ? And I'd be living for myself, right? And there's no fulfillment there. And I was just thinking on that, and again, I just appreciate the ability to be here and to have God's word and his truth, amen? It's good to be with you tonight. Let's pray, and then we'll get started. Father, I thank you that we can gather here tonight. I thank you for the truth you give to us. Lord, I pray that you would meet with us tonight. I pray that you would work in hearts. I pray you'd give me the words to say, Lord. Lead my thoughts, guide my thoughts. And the thoughts of others, I pray that you would cast out all distractions and that you'd just accomplish your purposes here tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I was thinking about a situation I encountered probably about 7 years ago. And if you have children, you can probably relate. Or if you've been around children, you'll probably be able to relate to this illustration. My daughter was about 3. And she's not here tonight, so I won't embarrass her. And I asked her if I could tell this story. She said, yeah, that's fine. But we were at Walmart, me, my father, and his wife, and my daughter. And we were getting her a bike, a new bike. And like I said, she's like 3 or 4, real small. And we're looking at the bikes, and we find one that would be good for her next bike that she can grow into. And, you know, this 3, 4-year-old or so pointed at the small bike and said, I want that bike. And I said, well, that bike's too small. We got to get you a bigger one that fits you. She said, but that's easy. I want that. That's easy. And I was thinking about that. And it's good for children to learn that life isn't always easy, right? It's good for them to learn that, you know, you can't always do the easy thing. And in that instance, probably riding that tiny bike wouldn't have been very easy. But maybe she saw the training wheels and was like, well, that's easy. I don't want the hard one. I want the easy one, right? And we like to teach our children that it's good to do the hard thing. But how often do we see that in ourselves as well, right? I want that because it's easy. I want to do the easy thing. It might be kind of convicting, isn't it? You ever think about that? The hard thing we often don't want to do. And I'm speaking to Christians tonight. This message is geared towards Christians. The Christian will face hard times. I mean, it's just God tells us that. Life is hard, and it's no different for the Christian, right? And I would ask tonight, are you facing hardships? I don't have anything in mind. I don't look at my audience and say, I'm going to give them this because they need it. But I assume if you're saved and you're walking with the Lord, you are. Because just like with children, the Lord puts hard things in our life so that we can grow, right? So we can be more Christ-like, so we can be more mature. So I would ask, are you facing hard times? And I'm not asking you to compare yourself to others. We're going to be considering Jeremiah tonight. But I'm not asking you to compare yourself to Jeremiah. I'm not asking you to compare yourself to anyone else. Are you going through hard times, trials, things that are strengthening you, things that are difficult or hard? That's what I'd like to ask you as we begin here. Let's consider Jeremiah. Go to Jeremiah chapter 1. And this isn't our text, but we know that Jeremiah was called to be a prophet. And we'll read the first 5 verses of Jeremiah chapter 1. We read the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So we see here that Jeremiah was called to be a prophet of God. We see that Jeremiah's ministry was about 40 years. It says he was called in the 13th year of Josiah and served until the fall of Jerusalem. We know this. If I did my math right, that's what it was. We know that Jeremiah also wrote Lamentations, and just recently, it just came up. My daughter the other day asked me, what's Lamentation? I don't know what the context was, what she was doing. I was in the kitchen. She asked me, what's Lamentations? What's that mean? And I told her, it's an expression of sorrow, cries of grief, the act of bewailing. That's what lamentation is. And she said to me, there's a book of the Bible called crying, called weeping. And I was thinking, yes, and I explained to her that Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentations and what his ministry was. A good example of this word used in the Bible, go to Matthew chapter 2, and we'll look at this. Matthew chapter 2. Verse 16, we know this, these verses. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted, because they are not. But lamentation, why? Because King Herod had slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, in the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under. I think that's a good example of lamenting, what it means to lament, to weep, to cry, to bewail. Jeremiah was given the task of warning Jerusalem of the judgment to come. And we can see this in Lamentations chapter 1, if you want to turn there. Lamentations chapter 1. Lamentations 1:8. Jerusalem hath grievously sinned, therefore she is removed. All that honored her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she sigheth and turneth backward. But Jerusalem hath grievously sinned and is removed. Right? They had sinned. There was judgment coming. We know that the Lord used Babylon to accomplish this judgment. But I was thinking of Jeremiah and his ministry. And we know, and we're going to look before we get to our text at what he faced. But what was his job? What was he to do? He was to go and tell people what the Lord wanted them to hear, right? And we see what came of it, how people responded. Go to Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. We're going to be looking at the hardships that he faced. I've titled this message, Facing Hardships. And again, we shouldn't compare ourselves. I don't want you to compare yourself to Jeremiah, but I think he's a good example of someone who faced hardships. Jeremiah 18, verse 18. Then said they, Come, and let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priests, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. So let's work against him, devise devices against Jeremiah. Let's smite him with our tongue, talk badly about him, maybe to him, right? And let's not listen to him. Does that sound familiar? I mean, I think we probably see that in our world wherever we're at, and we're telling people the gospel, right? Let's work against them. Let's talk badly or fight them with our tongue, and let's not listen to them. Let's not take heed to them. Jeremiah faced that. Go to Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah A couple pages over. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 1. Now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Again, he's just telling them what the Lord sent him to tell them. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, the Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magor-Missabib. But we see here that he was smote. He was hit and put in the stocks. Physical abuse and put in the stocks. Again, for just communicating what the Lord would have him to. Let's go to chapter 26. Chapter 26, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. Jump down to verse 8. Now it came to pass, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, thou shalt surely die. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the princes of Judah heard these things, then they came up from the king's house unto the house of the Lord, and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then spake the priests and the prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, this man is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against this city, as ye have heard with your ears. And lastly, let's go to chapter 38. So here we see he's threatened. His own life is threatened. They want to kill him for standing for Christ. Well, standing for the Lord. This was before Christ came, but standing for the Lord and what he would have him to say. Chapter 38, verse 1. Then Shephatiah, the son of Matan, and Gedaliah, the son of Pashur, and Jechal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, the son of Malchiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken unto all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, he that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey and shall live. Thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death, for thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in the city, and the hands of all the people, in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. Again, his life is threatened. And I find it ironic what their assumptions of why he did it, right? For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. I think we're starting to maybe we can just get a little small glimpse of how he was able to write Lamentations, right? I don't think that was his motive at all. I think he loved these people. And I would say Jeremiah had a hard ministry, wouldn't you? I mean, we just looked at a couple verses here, but I think we could all say that is true. Not only did he have to confront man's sinfulness, he also had to speak of the destruction to come. And while he was doing that, he was being fought, right? He was being hated. He was being beaten. He was being thrown in prison. Maybe we can relate about going and telling people about the judgment to come, about their sinfulness. We should. And the mercy of God, if they turn to him. But maybe his was on a larger scale, right? I don't know how to weigh those things. But we ought to be telling people about their sinfulness and confronting them about it, right? And telling them about the destruction to come but also about what Christ did for them, right? If we love them, we'll do that. Today, this isn't always an easy task, but we don't face the same persecution here in this country as Jeremiah faced. We know that. But let's go to our text in Jeremiah chapter 33. I'm going to read the first three verses in Jeremiah 33. Verse 1, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison." So he's in prison again. "Saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Tonight I want us to see how we can, in the midst of trials, in the midst of hardships, how we can be encouraged. I believe we see it in these three verses, and I think we see it in Jeremiah's ministry, and that's what we're going to look at tonight. The first thing I notice is that the Lord speaks to us. Verse 1, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court." I would assume that Jeremiah was strengthened when he remembered past promises that the Lord gave to him. When the Lord would speak to him, it was probably an encouragement to him in the midst of all these trials, all these hardships, this persecution that he was facing. Let's look at some of these. Back to Jeremiah chapter 1. Starting in verse 7, Jeremiah 1:7. "But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." That's how it started off. I am with thee to deliver thee. Don't be afraid of them. Go to verse 17 in this chapter. "Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defenced city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee." And I was that last verse, verse 19. Isn't it a blessing that the Lord always tells us what's coming? I think of Christ. I believe Pastor mentioned it not too long ago, how the servant is not greater than the master, right? He lets us know what's coming, but he also tells us, don't worry, I'll be with you and you will prevail. That's what he told Jeremiah. Be not dismayed. That word means shattered, broken, or afraid. Don't be that way. I am with you. They will fight against you, but you will prevail. And it wasn't in Jeremiah, it was in the Lord. That's why. Let's go to chapter 15 of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 19 and following. "Therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me, and if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. And I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible." Again, the Lord saying, don't worry, I am with thee. I will deliver thee. I will strengthen thee. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. The Lord was speaking to Jeremiah there, but he gives us promises as well. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. And we can think about those verses, the spirit of the Antichrist and false prophets, and we could maybe become fearful, right? But verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Don't fear the world and what's in it, and the trials, the troubles. God is greater than that. Go to John 16. John chapter 16. Verse 33. This is Christ speaking. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Tribulation, oppression, affliction, distress. That's what we find in this world, but don't worry, Christ has overcome it. Again, comforting. I'm with you. I've overcome it. And he's letting them know, letting us know through the scriptures what we will encounter and what we can expect. As a believer, Christ is with us and Christ has overcome the world. That should bring us great comfort. We too can take comfort in the promises of God. Go back to Jeremiah. Go to chapter 36. Jeremiah chapter 36. Verse 5. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written for my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return every one from his evil way, for great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. And Baruch, the son of Neriah, did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. So we see Jeremiah says, I cannot go. So he gives God's word to Baruch. He says, go and tell the people these things, what the Lord has told me. Go to verse 13. Then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Therefore all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushai, unto Baruch, saying, take in thine hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand and came unto them. Verse 15, and they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. And I would ask, do we desire God's word this way? Do we want to hear from God? They were asking him, tell us. We should. We see that Jeremiah was comforted by God speaking to him. Jeremiah was comforted by God speaking to him. Again, the Lord speaks to us, and we can be encouraged by this when we are facing hardships. We should turn to God's word. We should remember promises he has told us, and we should allow him to speak to us through his word and in prayer as well. Go to Jeremiah chapter 15. Verses 15 through 17. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. And I'm going to stop for a second there. When we have that perspective that we are doing it, and if we do suffer persecution, we're doing it for Christ's sake, I think that will help us out a lot as well, right? We're doing it for him. not because it feels good, not because it's for me or someone else. We're doing it for the Lord, right? Verse 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. But thy words were found, and I did eat them. Do we eat up God's word? Do we seek it? Do we fill ourselves with it? And as I was reading this, I thought of Psalm 1. Let's go to Psalm 1. Starting in verse 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Is that us? Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. These are promises. And I think Jeremiah knew this very well. Go to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. Say, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters. And actually, let's go to, that's verse 8. Let's go to 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Confident expectation. It's in the Lord. Blessed is that man, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. This word see in verse 8, I looked into it, it says, and shall not see when heat cometh. What's it talking about there? I looked at that word, to look at, to consider. Shall not see, shall not consider when heat cometh. Why? Because trusting in the Lord, now of course it's talking about a tree, but we can apply this to us. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. So when the heat comes, it doesn't have to consider it or even look at it, because it's got plenty of water there to grow. And then if we go on, in verse 8, it says, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, shall not be anxious, shall not be fearful, shall not be concerned in the year of drought. Why? Because it's planted by the water. And that's God's word. When we trust in God, that can be us. We don't have to take care when the heat comes or the drought comes that would be devastating to others. We have the Lord and we have his word. If we are in God's word and trusting in him, then when the hard times come, we are not fearful or anxious or concerned. We will continue to bring forth fruit if we are allowing him to speak to us. Go to Jeremiah chapter 16, just one, maybe a page back. Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 19. O Lord, my strength, and my fortress, and my refuge in the day of affliction. I'm just going to stop there. O Lord, my strength, and my fortress, and my refuge in the day of affliction. Is that the way he is to us? Is he our strength? Is he our place of safety, our fortress? Is he our place of escape, our refuge, when trials come, when hard times come? Do we turn to him? Is the Lord these things to us? Do we find comfort in his word and his promises when we are faced with trials? Or do we try to handle it in our strength, in our logic, in our abilities? As I've said over and over again, the Lord speaks to us. And I have a list here, a number of reasons why. It's not a full list. This isn't every reason. But the Lord speaks to us for a number of reasons. The Lord speaks to us to save. Go to Jeremiah 13, just back a couple pages. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 27. I have seen thine adulteries and thy nains, the lewdness of thy whoredom, and thine abominations on the hills and the fields. Woe unto thee, O Jerusalem! Wilt thou not be made clean? When shall it once be? I have seen your wickedness. I have seen your abominations. I have seen your sinfulness. Wilt thou not be made clean? Do you see the invitation there? He's pointing out, he's putting his finger on their sin, but he's also inviting them. He speaks to us to save. Go to chapter 17, just a couple pages over. Verse 14. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. The Lord speaks to save. Matthew 11, we know this, 28, these verses, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Lord speaks to us to save us. That's how it starts, salvation. That's why he's given us his word. That's why Jeremiah was going. It wasn't because he hated them or he wanted to see them destroyed. It's because he was offering them God's mercy. He speaks to save. The Lord speaks so we can repent. He's a gracious God. Go to chapter 18 in Jeremiah, verse 11. Now therefore, go to, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now, every one, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. He speaks so that we can repent. He gives us the opportunity to repent. That's what salvation is. It's seeing the salvation in Christ and given the opportunity to repent and changing our mind. That's what repentance is, and turning to God. Romans 2:4 says, Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? He speaks to us so that we can repent, whether it's in salvation or for the Christian to repent of whatever it may be. The Lord speaks to instruct and to warn. Go to Jeremiah chapter 6. We should be comforted with these verses. This should encourage us. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 8. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Instruction, warning. Go to verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Here we see instruction, but it's not taken, right? We all have a choice to make. Warning, but not heeded. Jeremiah 25:7 says, yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that ye might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Anytime we discard what God says, it's to our own hurt. The Lord speaks to warn, to instruct. The Lord also speaks to correct. Go to Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 23 and 24. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. And do we have this attitude? Do we ask the Lord to correct us? Correct me. Why do we want that? So we can move on, so we can move on for him, so we can grow. He speaks to us to correct us. And these are all blessings. The Lord speaks to communicate his love. Go to Jeremiah 31. And that should blow our minds, that God speaks to sinful man to communicate his love to us. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. God speaking to sinners. That's a blessing. I'll read for you. We know these. John 3:16 through 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is condemned, but he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Some people say that God is a tyrant, that he hates us, that he's so wicked. Well, no. If he wanted us to go to hell, he didn't have to say anything. He tells us so that we can be saved because he loves us. He speaks to communicate his love to us. Here's another one along the same vein. The Lord speaks to fellowship with us. Another thought that is just mind-boggling. Fellowship with us. Jeremiah chapter 7. Go there with me, please. Jeremiah chapter 7. And these are just some ways the Lord speaks to us. We will move on. I've got a couple more here, but how and why the Lord speaks to us. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23, to fellowship with us. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. Obey my voice, and I will be your God, right? Obey me just because I say so. Maybe we say things like that. Or obey me because I want you to listen and do things my way. Why does God tell us to obey him? So that we can walk with him. We can fellowship with him. So we can have a relationship with him. Go to chapter 11 of Jeremiah. Verse 4. Which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them according to all which I command you. So shall ye be my people, and I will be your God. He speaks so that we can fellowship with him. And lastly, the Lord speaks to comfort us. Go to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. Verse 13, then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and I will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow to comfort us. Let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Look how the Lord starts this off here. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't worry. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He speaks to comfort us. Let not your heart be troubled. And just my opinion, when He rose from the dead, and he was out, he was gone, he wasn't in the tomb, and Mary was there seeking for him. My personal opinion, one of the reasons he showed up was to comfort her, I think. She was seeking for Christ. She saw him and thought he was the gardener, remember? Where have they taken my Lord? Where have they taken him? And he didn't have to come back to earth and say, Mary, it's me, right? It was to comfort her, I believe. God speaks to comfort us. I believe, as I've said already, that one of the ways Jeremiah was able to continue on in the face of extreme challenges, extreme hardships, is because the Lord spoke to him and comforted him with his word. He had given him promises. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 33. Should just be a couple pages over. Jeremiah chapter 33. And we'll see another thing that will encourage us in the midst of hardships. We looked at how the Lord speaks to us. Next, we see that the Lord reminds us of who he is. Jeremiah 33, verse 2, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. And I believe he's talking about here, let's go back to chapter 32, verse 42, and read up to 33. It says, for thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. And fields shall be bought in this land, whereof ye say, it is desolate, without man or beast. It is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Men shall buy fields for money and subscribe evidences and seal them and take witnesses in the land of Benjamin and in the places about Jerusalem and in the cities of Judah and in the cities of the mountains and in the cities of the valley and in the cities of the south, for I will cause their captivity to return, saith the Lord. Reminding them that he is in control. He has brought it about and he will change it. If you are in a hard situation and are following God, then he has put you there. He's in control of those circumstances. It might seem to you like something you would never want to go through, you would never want to see, never experience, but God has put you there, and it's okay. He made that situation, and he'll make a way out. Go to Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. This is the God we serve. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. Let's go to chapter 14, a few pages over. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 22. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Art not thou he, O Lord our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things. We need to wait upon the Lord. He's made all these things. And I know it's pretty basic, it's pretty elementary, but let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Sometimes I think we get along in our Christian life and we start to forget the basics, right? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Just as easy as that, right? Let there be light. And we could go forward and we won't. We know what happens. He created everything. But he spoke. Let there be light. And there was light. That's the God we serve. Something for us to remember as well is that the Lord can do what he wants with what is his, right? True statement. He can do what he wants with what is his. Go to Jeremiah chapter 28. Verse 14. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him, and I have given him the beasts of the field also. He can do what he wants with what is his. We could apply this to our lives in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Just some basic truths here. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Ye are bought with a price. Are you saved tonight? You're bought with a price. And that price is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You are bought with a price. Do we look at our lives this way, in the way that the Lord can do whatever he wants with us and what our lives consist of? No matter what it is, no matter how hard it might seem, we should remember that it's for our good, and that's a blessing, but it's for His glory, ultimately. Romans 12:2. Again, we know this verse, but I'm going to turn there anyway. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We can have this. We can put to the test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in our lives. If we are thinking properly about who God is and who we are, we will naturally submit to Him. Go to Jeremiah chapter 38. Jeremiah chapter 38, verse 16. Just showing us who He is. So Zedekiah the king swore secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord liveth that made us this soul. And I'll just stop there. And made us this soul. God made us a living soul. Back in Genesis chapter 2, again, we can forget these things. Maybe not really forget them, but we don't think about it. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's what He's capable of. We're just dust without that. Go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Verses 13 and 14. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. Sometimes I think we forget that we're just dust without Him, that we're nothing without Him. When we are going through hard times, remembering who God is will help us, I believe. And remembering who we are as well will help us. Go to Jeremiah chapter 49. Your Bible probably just opens to Jeremiah now. You're welcome. Jeremiah chapter 49. Verse 18 and following. We read verse 18, I believe, earlier. Let's see here. Oh, we're not there yet. Maybe I'm just confused. 49. Well, anyway, verse 18. As in the overflow of Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, no man shall abide there, neither shall a son of man dwell in it. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan against the habitation of the strong, but I will suddenly make him run away from her. And who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her? For who is like me? And who will appoint me the time? And who is that shepherd that will stand before me? Go to chapter 32 of Jeremiah. Who is like me? He asks. Chapter 32 of Jeremiah. Verse 26 and 27. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? That's good for us to ask. Is there anything too hard for him? Remember Sarah and Abraham? He asked the same question. Is there anything too hard for me? It seemed impossible. But God said, is there anything too hard for me? Obvious answer is no. You know, I think sometimes we submit to the Lord and His plans for us, and we go forward and we're in the midst of it, and all of a sudden hardships come, these trials come, and we forget who it is that put us there and who it is we serve. There's nothing too hard for Him. Thankfully, the Lord has a way of reminding us of who He is and what He is capable of. When we go through hard times, we see that God speaks to us and guides us. That should comfort us. God reminds us of who He is. And lastly, we see that He encourages us to call upon Him. Go back to Jeremiah 33, just I think a page over or so, if you're with me here. We'll just read all three again. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. And here we go, verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He encourages us to call upon him. And not just call upon him and silence, but he says, I will answer thee. And not just answer us, but he will show us great and mighty things that we don't know of. And we don't know anything without him, but great and mighty things. Great, large. It's a word denoting more magnitude or extension than something else, or beyond what is usual. That's God. Great and mighty things, very strong things, valiant or bold, very powerful, having great command. That's the word might, mighty. God can show us great and mighty things because he is a great and mighty God. Go to Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 11. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous, and seest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I opened my cause. Terrible, awe-inspiring is what that means. Awesome. Go to Jeremiah 23, chapter 23. Verse 23. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? He is everywhere, but he is a God that is at hand. He is near, he is reachable, he's not afar off. Let's go to Chapter 32 of Jeremiah. Again, and this is the verse that we looked at, verse 18, but we'll continue on here. Somehow I got into Ezekiel. Jeremiah 32. Verse 18. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompense the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name, great in counsel and mighty in work. For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day, and in Israel, and among other men, and has made thee a name as at this day, and has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs, and with wonders, and with a strong hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with great terror, and has given them this land which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. But he is a mighty God. The Lord of hosts is his name, we see in verse 18. Great in counsel and mighty in work. This is God that we serve. When Jeremiah was in trouble, he called upon the Lord. Jeremiah 18, turn there. Third time's the charm. This is the verse that we went to earlier, sorry. This is the one I've been mentioning over and over again. We're finally there. One of these times we get there, right? Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 18. We see Jeremiah calling upon the Lord. Then said they, Come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. Verse 19, Give heed to me, O Lord, and hearken to the voice of them that contend with me. Shall evil be recompensed for good? For they have digged a pit for my soul. Remember that I stood before thee to speak good for them and to turn away thy wrath from them. Verse 21, therefore deliver up their children to the famine and pour out their blood by the force of the sword, and let their wives be bereaved of the children and be widows, and let their men be put to death. Let their young men be slain by the sword in battle. Let a cry be heard from their houses when thou shalt bring a troop suddenly upon them, for they have digged a pit to take me and hid snares for my feet. Yet, Lord, thou knowest all their counsel against me to slay me. Forgive not their iniquity, neither blot out their sin from thy sight, but let them be overthrown before thee. Deal thus with them in the time of thine anger. He called upon the Lord, and the Lord knows their counsel, right? He knows everything. He knows what they're doing. He's the one that's able to help us. Almost finished here. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Come boldly to the throne of grace without fear, unreserved in speech, openly, without concealment. Just lay it on him. Pour it out to him. Sometimes when we talk to people, we confide to others, you know, we kind of tend to leave certain things out maybe. We maybe guard ourselves somewhat. I'm going to share this much, but not everything. And God knows everything, and yet sometimes we do the same with him, right? We're like, we're going to keep a little, but no, just pour it out to him. I'm comforted. I'm encouraged when I read through the Psalms and I see the psalmist at times even expressing things that maybe aren't quite right. But God wants us to go to him and pour it out to him, right? So he knows we ought to. Just give it to him. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God wants us to turn to him. Don't be anxious. Go to God. Make your requests known to him. And when he does, when we do this, he will answer us. He will answer us. So are you facing hardships tonight? Are you facing trials tonight? Take comfort and rely on God's word and what he has said and what he has showed you and what he wants to show you. Remember who God is and call upon the Lord. Again, Jeremiah 33, 1 through 3. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Let's live this way. Let's go to him starting tonight, this week, and let's take comfort in his word. Let's remember who he is and what he wants to do with our lives, and let's just call upon him so he can show us great and mighty things. Amen? Pastor Custer, come ahead.
Jeremiah can be a book that we think of as God's judgment. It's very bad, very negative. But we saw a lot of references, God just revealing himself. That's a very good thing. Praise the Lord that when our sin